With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Brian Thomas here, and wishing you a very happy Friday. And, of course, those who are regular listeners know we got another Jason to talk to at this time, the one you read in the Cincinnati Inquirer, specifically the Politics Extra column. Welcome back to the show, Jason Williams. It's always good talking with you.
Always great talking to you, Brian. Thanks for having me back on.
Happy to, and a good time to have you back on too. Of course, we have been talking about, you know, November and 2021. It's going to be crazy in the city. We've got ballot initiatives. We've got a whole new slate of council people we need to choose from, and I think everybody except you and me has put their name into the hopper, yeah, to run for council seat. So, moving aside from that, I was able to talk to earlier in the week Rafael Prophet, who is running for mayor. And then yesterday I talked with mayoral wannabe Gavi Bagtrup. Both of those guys, and I think they're the only two, but you can maybe be able to correct me on this, are both in favor of issue 3. Now, if you didn't get a chance to listen to my conversation with Gavi, I recommend it, Jason, just because toward the end there, I think he really summed up his argument in advancement of issue 3, which is, well, we all know about affordable housing. It's been a decades-long problem. We all talk about it, but nothing ever seems to get done. Look, something finally is getting done. And in spite of the problems and the constraints it places on the budget, that I suppose his concept is it's better than nothing, and they'll fix it after they enact it. So I don't know that that's a good, strong point of advocacy for his candidacy, but at least I got to talk to those two. But the rest, silence is kind of deafening. So does anybody in the city seem to care at all? Because that was kind of the subject matter of one of your Politics Extra columns, Jason.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great question, Brian, and they better start caring because there's going to be a lot. This is going to be detrimental to the city's budget. Of course, we've seen the ads. You've seen the stories. You've talked about it. All other radio stations have talked about it. But it's not hyperbole. When you take $50 million out of a $400-plus million operating budget, that's a big chunk of money. On my podcast the other day to the Inquirer, that's just Cincinnati with Sharon Coolidge, we had Matt Alter from the Cincinnati Fire Union on.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about how they're already down 70 firefighters as it is right now. They've not been able to replace a lot of their infrastructure, their fire engines, because of budget constraints. Obviously, that's capital budget money.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you can go, I guarantee you, you know, Brian, you could have on every department head from the city of Cincinnati, the transportation department, the police department, and they will all tell you, like, this is real, that everyone is, yeah, going to get cut, that the recreation centers are in danger, or some are in danger of closing. And so,
but well, Jason, I had Vice Mayor Smithman on. In addition to those areas, he also pointed out, of course, and I talked with Dan Hills this week about the police cutbacks, and that's going to happen. He said they wouldn't collect garbage, but once every 2 weeks. Can you imagine?
I mean, that's the thing, is they're going to have to make really, really hard decisions like that, because it's not $50 million, and this is not just this year. This is
forever,
here until whenever.
Yeah.
And you're also looking at, it makes it extra tough for this year, next year, the next couple of years, because of the pandemic and what that's done to the budget. And I'm telling you, this is, if people really value safe streets and getting their garbage collected and having firefighters show up on time and or there at the scene, 911 calls answered, basic things that we all value and appreciate and need and want, there should be some extra motivation to go out for that that primary May 4th and vote against issue 3.
And that is not, and this is the qualification you have to enter in. You have to bring up front almost every time you want to talk about this subject rationally, logically. It's the mechanism that they are trying to get you to vote for that we're against. It's not that anybody's talking about, you know, to hell with affordable housing, period. We don't care. That is not the message. The message is that this hamstrings the government. And we alluded to the fact that we've got all these new council members are going to be elected, Jason. That is a brand new people. We're going to have a brand new mayor, potentially even a guy. And I have nothing against Gavi personally, although our politics are different. But Gavi's never even been in elected capacity before. He's never even been a councilman. Now, he may be a smart guy. He's got a PhD. But I don't think he knows anything about the specifics of being a mayor. He might be in that position. Same thing with Rafael Prophet. So except for David Mann, you're looking at a whole new cast of characters. And not only would they have to deal with this $50 million upfront thing, Jason, you pointed out, the COVID-19 ripple effect, I think, is going to be profound because of the earnings tax loss. They're not going to come back in the large numbers that they used to, those folks that used to work in downtown Cincinnati. They're going to stay home and work in their home offices.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm glad you pointed out, Brian, about that this is not really, this is not a criticism of affordable housing.
No.
It is a need. Columbus does it the right way, where the public sector and the private sector have come together and put a fund. A lot of the major companies in Columbus have gotten involved in this, and they've built this robust fund. And
right.
It's a nice system set up to where they have a scoring or a vetting system and how they build affordable housing and how they go about that every year. And I disagree with Gavi in that maybe he thinks there's been a lot of talk about it. But I just talked with a council member the other day who told me that this was a scorched earth way to go about this, in that there wasn't a lot of talk from the group who put this on the ballot in terms of bringing all these different stakeholders from around the community together to discuss it. Now, look, I when it comes to meetings and meetings about meetings and bureaucratic stuff and just talking about things and kicking the can, I'll be the first person to raise my hand to criticize that. But this was one of those cases where it's like, okay, if you do want to try to take city money, dedicated city money for this, maybe you should bring in a lot of other stakeholders to have this discussion and see what they think before you just try to blow a $50 million hole every year in the city's budget. And honestly, Brian, again, I don't. The affordable housing thing is almost taken an aside to this because, really, and I don't know if it's underneath this all because it's not really hidden at all. This is an effort to fundamentally, when you really look at that, they want to take $50 million from the operating budget. That there was no proposal or no thought put into trying to find a new stream of money. Heck, even a new tax. That it was just like, let's just take it right from the city's budget.
Right.
Right there tells you that this is a fundamental effort to try to change how things are done in the city of Cincinnati. Not really just about affordable housing, but, where so much talk about defunding the police.
Ah!
There you go.
Yes, that's the elephant in the room, and many, many people are suggesting this is really more an effort to defund the police. Now, I just ignore it and just say, no, it's $50 million and it hamstrings the council to do whatever they want, especially in lean budget years, which they're already projecting $20-plus million deficits onto the next three fiscal years without the pandemic thing factored into it. Jason, let us address in the remaining moments we have here your other column, which is about the delay. There is an investigation that's still ongoing into the Gang of Five. It's being handled by Special Prosecutor Pat Hanley, but how long are we going to wait before there's some word on what's going on, Jason?
I don't know. Pat Hanley is not—he's not answering questions. He's not answering questions even among from the prosecutor's office or City Hall, questions about the timetable. That is, and it's gotten a lot of people frustrated because the news of this first broke, the first Brian Shrives lawsuit 3 years ago this month, and this thing, if this were just one special prosecution and nothing else had happened, okay. But this thing has gone through, the high-profile court hearing before Judge Ruhlman. This thing has gone through a state audit.
The guilty plea.
This thing has also been scrutinized left and right through the local media. It's been scrutinized by Brian Shrive, attorney, and other private attorneys. At this point, and Pat Hanley came out, his number one role in this special investigation at the recommendation of Keith Faber, the state auditor, was that, to find whether the council members, committed the crime of dereliction of duty, a misdemeanor. Well, he came out in September and said, nope, I'm not going to have any dereliction of duty charges against the five, some of them now former council members. And so that we thought that was the main part of this investigation. Well, here we are 5 months later, and everything is up in the air. And it's like, what is going on? There needs to be closure to this. Most important for the citizens of Cincinnati, so this city can really start to move forward from this really sordid chapter and start to turn a corner. And I know that sounds kind of, 50,000-foot view, but these things just hover over, and they continue to just suck up oxygen out of, we write about it, and it's like, what's going on? And there's taxpayer money being spent on this, and Lord knows the guy's being paid $250 an hour, and he's been on this for 15 and a half months.
Maybe that's the answer, Jason. He likes the hourly rate.
We're trying to find that out.
Keep working on it. I know we'll find out. Jason William, we'll read your Politics Extra column. We'll find it at Cincinnati.com, where I always recommend my listeners get it. Get yourself a Cincinnati Enquirer subscription so we can continue to have guys like Jason and Sharon Coolidge and Hannah Sparling and others write about these local, very important local topics. Until next week, Jason, stay well, my friend.
You too, man. Look forward to it next week. Have a great weekend, Brian.
You too. 8:51 right now, 55.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.